Prepare my heart, Lord Jesus. Turn not from me aside. And grant that I receive thee this blessed Advent tide. From stall and manger, lo, come thou to dwell within me. Loud praises will I sing thee, and forth thy glory show. Amen. Our text, again abbreviated from what is listed in your bulletin, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, two verses that we read before, verses 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Dear friends in Christ, the word ambassador, it's not one that's unfamiliar to us. Matter of fact, it wasn't but a few months ago that Ambassador Stevens was all over the news with what happened in Benghazi in Libya. So we know the word. However, in regular everyday life, we may not encounter exactly what an ambassador does. Or at least I don't. I looked it up on the internet, did a Google search, typed in the words, what does an ambassador do? And I came up with there being three things that are involved with being an ambassador. One of them, you need to know the one that you are representing. Secondly, you need to know his message, or you could say his policies. And thirdly, you need to know your target audience. Now, how does that fit in with America? Well, you think of if you were an ambassador to Great Britain, what would you do? Well, you'd be there representing the American president. You would be there to speak on our policies that have to do with Great Britain. And then, of course, also, it would be helpful to know some of the history between the two countries so you're better informed and can put your words into ways that are as fitting as possible. It's no different when it comes to being an Advent ambassador for Christ. It's the same three things that we need to know concerning that one who's coming. Those are the three things we'll address tonight. So first of all, we need to know the Lord whom we're serving. You find that in the text. Paul makes it very plain. He says the same phrase twice. Now, I'll use the word order from the Greek. He says, on behalf of Christ, you are ambassadors. And we implore you on behalf of Christ. This is obvious. The one for whom we are serving as ambassadors, the one that we are representing in this world that is foreign to him, the one we're representing is Christ, God himself. So yes, if we are to be the best ambassador we can be, then we do well to know who that Lord is. Of course, best place to go for that, only place to go, is to his word, where he's revealed to us exactly who he is. So yes, my friends, as Advent ambassadors, get to know his name. No, I'm not suggesting that you find that, you've probably seen that poster, 2 feet by 3 feet, solid, full of the names of Jesus. Have you ever seen that? I think ILC had it on sale some years ago, I think. I'm not saying you have to just memorize all the proper names that Jesus has. but that you familiarize yourself with them so you know what they mean. So here you have the Apostle Paul saying, you're ambassadors for Christ. Okay. Who's Christ? Catechism class time here for a moment. What do you remember? Who is Christ? What does that name Christ mean? I won't try to put you on the spot. I would welcome answers, but I won't. Christ. Well, go ahead, anybody. Chris? The Anointed One. Yes. As what three positions? Prophet, priest, king. Yes. What does that mean then? If he's anointed as our king, well, he's the one who rules us. Anointed as a priest, sacrifices. Your teacher's doing a good job, isn't she? He's the one that sacrifices himself on the cross. He's also the one as a priest who does interceding in our behalf. Okay, so king, priest, and prophet. As a prophet, he's anointed to speak his word. His word which not only he proclaims in the word, but which we then speak as his ambassadors. Yeah, you're an ambassador of Christ. Know what Christ means. Know who he is. The name Redeemer. That he has paid the price to buy us back. Or that wonderful name that was given to him by the angel. Jesus. What does it mean? Savior. You shall call his name Jesus. You know the rest. For he will save his people from their sins. Know the one who is sending you. Know his name. Secondly then, know what his message is. In the text we see Paul leaves no mistake about this either. He says, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. What's God's message? The words that he himself is imploring and pleading and beseeching and calling people to his side. That idea is there also. What's the message? People, be reconciled to God. So here's another challenge. What does reconciliation mean? It means that two parties who had been at odds are now brought together as friends again. A close relationship is reestablished between two parties. Do you understand how that works with Christ's message for us? The two parties that were at odds were God and man. The enmity that existed between the two was because of sin. So how did God reconcile? Well, he did it by sending his Son. We could not get rid of that sin that was between us. We could not make peace between us and God. He did. By living that perfect life. Offering it into death on the cross. Rising again the third day. This is the message that our Lord would have us proclaim. The world has been reconciled to God by Christ himself. So yes, as Advent ambassadors, we are to proclaim that word. That's his message. Okay, third part. Our target audience. We need to know who our target audience is. You have your bulletin. I need to have you take a look at it, please. Where the text is on the last page. Oh, yes. And Pastor Bernthal did it exactly the way it is in the Bible, which is good. Not just the words. The format is an important thing here. The part of the verse I'd have you look at is in verse 20. It says, "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So, okay, if we're talking about our target audience, Paul says, "We implore you." So obviously, this "you" is our target audience, right? And when you look at the context, as you have to do when you have a pronoun, you look back, perhaps even beyond this text, you find out that the "you" is talking about the believers in Corinth to whom Paul was writing the letter. So therefore, it would appear that our target audience, as Paul writes, is intended to be believers. Now, the reason I had you look at the bulletin is because you notice that word "you" is in italics. There's a reason for that. Now, if you were aware of this, typically in the New King James, I don't know about the Old King James so much, New King James, when there's a word that's in italics, it's because that word is not found in the Greek. Typically, it's a word that's added by the people that did the translating because they think that it's needed to make sense. You have to implore somebody, so it's "we implore you." I would suggest to you that the Apostle Paul put it the way he did for a reason. Take the "you" out. You don't need it to make sense. What Paul wrote was simply, "We implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Then we can ask the question, who? Who are we supposed to implore if Paul says that's what we're supposed to do? The answer is not those who already have reconciliation. Not us, not believers. We've already got it. No. Paul is telling us to get out there to those who don't have it yet. Fitting in with what Jesus himself said. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's our audience. We, as ambassadors of Christ, are to take his message out to those who have not heard it yet. That's our target audience. Three things. Ambassadors know the one that they're representing. We are to know our Lord. To know the message, we need to know the word of reconciliation. Thirdly, to know the target audience, that we realize that our work is to proclaim the word of reconciliation to the world. Typically, that is as far as an ambassador's work would go. Being an ambassador is knowing the one you're representing, knowing the message, and knowing your audience. That's all an ambassador does. He is simply a mouthpiece, a proclaimer. Because you see, the idea is that when an ambassador goes to a foreign country, what is to happen is that when he speaks, the people who hear him are to be hearing the president. He's not there with his own ideas. He's there with the policies of his country. So who the ambassador is, what he looks like, how he talks, how old he is, if it's a man or a woman, doesn't matter. It's the message that matters. And it's the same way with us then as ambassadors of Christ. We aren't what's important. It's the message that we carry that is. And that's why the Apostle Paul said what he did. He said, "We do not preach ourselves. We proclaim Christ crucified." The messenger means nothing. We are not the ones who have done the saving. We haven't done the reconciling. We haven't done the redeeming. But we're proclaiming the one who has. So yes, that's true. The ambassador is not really part of the picture. It's the Lord and the message and the audience that are. That being true, there's one thing I'd like to add, as the Apostle Paul does here. Because we are not your typical ambassador. Look at verse 21. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Here's a difference with being a regular ambassador. We're not out there just to show how we know the Lord, know his message, know our audience. We are out there to show that what we are representing, who we're representing, what we're proclaiming, has been for us too. You think about it, how that works. That you and I were once by nature part of that unbelieving world out there that doesn't know God. We used to be part of that target audience that we now as ambassadors are proclaiming the word to. We used to be unbelievers who the Lord is, what he's done. That, at one time, was announced to us through the Word of God, the Gospel, the Word, the sacraments. So no, you and I are not uninvolved, unaffected, impartial ambassadors. We have personally experienced the very message we're proclaiming. We have experienced the joy of being one who is reconciled with God. We have experienced the relief of having a God to whom we can go with our sins. What a relief. To know that when we go to the Lord confessing what we've done wrong, repenting of our sins, trusting that he will forgive and give us strength to improve our sinful life. When we go to him, we know that the forgiveness, the help, the strength, it is there. What a relief. We have experienced personally the peace of mind that comes from knowing every sin is washed away. We have experienced the blessedness that comes as we study the Word of God, grow in our faith, and in our Christian lives. So once more to review. To be an Advent ambassador means you will know the Lord, the one that sent you. That you will know his message of reconciliation. You will know your audience, that it is yours to take the gospel to all those who are around you who have not heard that word yet, especially. As we go about telling, speaking, it's not only about telling words, but how we can share the joy, show the joy that we have ourselves in that one that we are anticipating this Advent season. That we share the joy of the one who has saved me, who saved you from your sins. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.